Good morning. How are you? Good, good. We're excited. I'm Kofi.
I'm Sarah.
And we've been, how long have we been married, honey?
We didn't prep for that question.
13 years.
13 years.
Yes, and I think we did 9 years of young adult ministry together in the past, and it's an honor for us to get to be up here together sharing. We want to honor Pastor Rhonda and of course Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori for inviting us to share the word. It is definitely a privilege. And this morning is our third week in the summer series, but our third week on community. And so we were thankful that we were given the privilege of being able to share on this topic of community because it's so close to our hearts. This week, there's been, if you've been following the news, the wildfires in Northern Ontario. It's this tragic situation. And as we were thinking about community, we were thinking about all of those communities, 10 communities that have had to be evacuated and so many others that have been just devastated. And so we wanted to take a moment to say that that's something that I think that we collectively should be praying about, is thinking about all the people whose communities right now are being devastated by the wildfires. We want to open our service in prayer and then let's jump right in. Heavenly Father, we honor you.
Thank you,
Lord,
Jesus.
We are so thankful for your word because your word is so true.
Yes.
Lord, it's our desire that your word would go forward in a way that's clear. Lord, help us, help Sarah and I to communicate in a way that's easy to understand such that people would be drawn closer to you, Lord. Our desire is that hearts would be touched, that people would be strengthened in their faith, Lord, that you would minister as only you can, God, that you would speak individually and meaningfully in ways that impact lives and allow us to draw more closely to you and to the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As Kofi said, we are so excited and honored to be here this morning serving in this community, serving in a community that very much for us feels like family. And as you know, this is our third Sunday in this series on community. And so to start it off, we wanted to talk a little bit about a community that we found ourselves a part of. So when we put our oldest son in Little Kickers about 7 years ago, I didn't picture 7 years later the red-clad, cowbell-ringing sideline enthusiast of a soccer mom that I was to become.
Soccer mom.
A super soccer fan is where I have found myself. In fact, after that first tournament in Laval, where, I kid you not, a parent brought their own keyboard, plugged it in, and used it to amp up the audience for that game, I quietly committed to increase our musical instruments that would be brought to cheer on our squad. And one day Kofi actually saw me taking out a pot and pan from underneath the pantry and just shook his head. So I did go out and buy two cowbells, one of which recently for like a friendly Ottawa game disappeared. I think maybe Kofi thought two would be overkill for that game. But one of the things that I really relish is the end of the game, where win or loss, our squad has a ritual where all of the onlookers, parents, grandparents, siblings, we come to the side of the field, we stretch out our hand, and we do kind of a running lineup of high fives for the boys and tell them, well done. And of course, naturally, any young child wants to get in on that domino effect of 30 high fives. And so usually the littles on the field make up the tail end of that moment. But what is so clear in that particular time, what washes over the collective group, is that feeling that we're all here for the love of the game and for the development of the players. And as we know and have experienced, communities have this powerful way of making us feel a part of something valuable, important, centered around a commonly held belief, goal, or mindset. And it's that formation that's really a natural part of what shapes relationships, connectivity, and even the forming of identity. Today, we're excited to unpack through Scripture how Christ calls us to see community and how we work to build community as Christians, and how it's really through the work of the Holy Spirit that we're able to live, to grow, and to build community as we lean into that model that Jesus sets in his own ministry. So we want to take a few minutes to unpack, what does that model look like in Jesus's own ministry? How did Jesus understand community, and how did he challenge the very way that culture saw community and his place in it? In a first century culture, there were strict social hierarchies, clear in-groups and out-groups, those with power and those who were powerless in society. And Jesus bridged all those divisions within society. In fact, Galatians 3:27-28 says, "For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
And this isn't idle words that Paul had penned in that letter to the church in Galatia. This is reaffirming the way that Jesus truly lived out his life. He was constantly inviting people into community. And that's a hard thing, to be consistently inviting people into community. I know that's a challenging thing for me to think about on an ongoing basis. He made those who were outsiders consistently welcome in his presence. And there's a few examples we want to highlight where Jesus does just this. There's a beautiful moment in Mark chapter 10 where parents have brought like a gaggle of children to Jesus. And Jesus takes the children in his arms, he places his hands on their heads, and he blesses them. Society would have deemed the life of a busy, esteemed rabbi as above playing with kids, above taking time for children. In fact, the disciples in this moment are kind of annoyed with the interference that these children have brought. But Jesus uses this moment to teach them that the kingdom of heaven belongs to everyone. It belongs to children. In fact, I love that he inverts the situation and he actually admonishes the disciples. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom.
Amen.
And there's no discrimination based on age in Jesus' community. Another moment that we see in Scripture where Jesus invites those who would be ostracized by their professional or even political affiliations into community is in Luke 19. Jesus is traveling through Jericho and he interacts with Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus.
And Zacchaeus, as you might have read in Scripture, is the chief tax collector. So as you can imagine, not the most popular member. In fact, in that region, he would have been a notorious sinner who was colluding with Roman government, exploiting the people. But Jesus sees a repentant heart and invites him into fellowship. And in that moment, what Jesus does, in full recognition of how Zacchaeus has been sidelined by his community, is he seeks to associate with him front and center, and shows that it's not about being deserving at all. It's about being willing.
Amen. That's good.
Another key biblical passage that highlights how Jesus really works to transform community is specifically related to how Jesus invited women in. In a culture where women were often treated as less important than men, Jesus defies those social conventions and he elevates them. He sees women as intrinsically important. He honors their faith and he includes them as significant members of that early Christian community. In fact, Luke 13 documents how, upon healing a woman who'd been crippled for 18 years, Jesus addresses her as a daughter of Abraham. The expression "son of Abraham" was often used to indicate that a male Jew was recognized as bound by covenant to God. But women had, in fact, never been called daughters of Abraham. And so in doing so, with that title, Jesus recognizes this woman as having equal worth because in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, Amen. Male nor female.
That's good.
And perhaps for us in today's culture, that seems a given, but in that cultural context, we have to appreciate how radical Jesus was in breaking down barriers and welcoming everyone into his kingdom, really redefining what it means to be a community. His followers were ex-fishermen, tax collectors, physicians, accountants, men and women who had sinful pasts, religious scholars, and the uneducated, all called into this beautiful community of believers.
I love how you've pulled out all of these different aspects of community and different kinds of people that Jesus was very conscious and intentional about building into his community. So you see that, right? You see how when we have Christian community, it's then formed of people from every background, every walk of life, men, women, young, old, liberal, conservative, all together in a community. But how many of you know that when you have people from all different backgrounds and walks of life, different beliefs, cultures, upbringings, there's the possibility for tension, right? There's the possibility for misunderstandings, for conflict, for hurt, for offense. And we're called to live out this Christian life in community, not in isolation, but alongside other believers. And it can be a wide variety of things that can strain that community. You can have issues of biblical interpretation or political affiliation or cultural baggage that come in, and all of a sudden you have people being people and it strains community. We know that for some who are stepping into this church community, that takes courage. It takes courage to walk into a place, look around, realize there's people with all different backgrounds and beliefs and opinions all surrounding me, and I'm stepping into this place, and what is that going to be like? Am I going to be able to fit into this community? And we also know that for those who have been around for a while, it's possible for there to be a hurt or an offense that then makes it hard to stay, where it's easier to say, you know what? Something happened, and so I'm going to disassociate myself from community. So in either case, there's challenge. It can be difficult to stay and work things out when it's been difficult. It's hard to be present and take part and contribute to a community when people are starting to get on your nerves. That's never happened to any of you. It's you know, it can be hard to open up and be vulnerable if you've been hurt in a community. And how many of you know that church hurt, that's a real phenomenon that can happen. It's hard to show up and be consistently active when life is busy. It's hard to hold on to hope when trust has been broken. It's hard to stay in the room when you feel like there's the possibility for conflict or when you're afraid of getting burned. And that's not unique to Christian community. That's something that's a factor in all communities. Relationships are hard because people are complicated, amen? I mean, it would be so much easier if everyone thought exactly how you thought, right? Like, I've thought that before. Wouldn't it be wonderful, honey, if everyone thought just like me? It would simplify things dramatically. And we can see that in the early church, that the early church, and I love how the Bible makes it clear that the early church was not perfect. There were challenges there. They struggled at times to foster healthy community. In James chapter 2, there's this admonishment where James says, if a man enters your church wearing an expensive suit, and then someone else comes in after and they're wearing rags, and you say to the man in the suit, oh, come here, sit in the place of honor at the front, and you either ignore the person in rags or you say, go sit there in the back, that you've completely missed the gospel. And you say, why would James put that in there? Why is the Bible saying that? The Bible is saying that because there's a possibility for humans to be humans, for humans to be flawed, and for divisions to creep in ways that harm community. Yeah. it's possible for people to not see everybody as in the image of God. It's possible for people to miss the heart of the gospel and not see everyone as an equally valuable member of the body. And as Sarah was saying, throughout Jesus' ministry, he was constantly challenging what people thought of as valuable to show that we are all part of this community. Galatians 2 tells of the famous incident when Peter came to Antioch. So Peter arrives in Antioch. He's one of the leaders of the church. He's interacting with the Gentile believers. He's eating with them, fellowshipping with them. But then it says some of the other leaders came from James, with James. And these were Jewish believers from a Jewish background. And some of these people insisted on the necessity of circumcision, and they did not eat with Gentiles. And so as a result of that, Peter, it says, stopped eating with the Gentile believers. So Paul sees this, and it says, Paul says, I had to oppose him to his face because of the hypocrisy of what he was doing. Right, so we see this moment where, unfortunately, Peter is caught up in appearances and trying to please one group at the expense of another group, and there's this challenge and there's this threat to the community, this possibility of the community being torn apart from its unity. So with all of the cracks and flaws that come with people trying to gather together, it can be easy to just shy away from real community. It can be easy to keep things very surface. To say, I'm going to come to church, I'm not going to talk to anybody, I'll just nod, it'll be just me and Jesus. Or to say, you know what, I'm just going to stay home. I'm just going to do church at home in my house, I won't have to deal with any people, right? That's a danger. I know I have to challenge myself because it's easy for me too to keep things pretty surface and just talk to people about the weather and move on with my day rather than to actually engage in deeper community. But what we wanted to really hone in on today is the reality that there's one thing that has the power to bridge all of the divides, and that's the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That's the one thing that can bring all of us together. And real unity is not something that we can create on our own. We can't just manufacture it. It's not just our effort, but it's a work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit forms us into one, into a new kind of people. And the Holy Spirit can bring us together in ways that people wouldn't understand, where they would say, how are they able to be so united despite all of their differences? And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. In my mid-20s, I was planning a move to St. Louis, Missouri to do a degree in theology. And I didn't have a lot of money, and I was going to be moving down there, and I knew I was going to need a roommate, and I contacted the school, and they said, actually, there's another student coming from somewhere else who's also going to be looking for a roommate, so you can get in touch with him, and maybe you guys could become roommates. And so I said, okay, so I have a quick phone chat with this guy, and next thing I know, I'm moving to St. Louis to live with a stranger. So I arrive down there, I meet this gentleman, he's around my age, and he's from Texas. And I discovered very quickly that we had completely different life experiences. Like fundamentally different. So we start talking and he played baseball very competitively, and I had hardly ever hit a baseball, and he had never played soccer, and I had played soccer almost exclusively. And he laughed at my accent. He had his southern accent and he's like, you talk funny. What is this weird Canadian accent that you have? And I said, well, you might have an accent as well. And we grew up with completely different food, and he loved Mexican food and Southern barbecue, and I grew up with jollof rice, the African food, some wacha and beans and fried plantain, and he had never had any of that. We had completely different political perspectives, right? Where he was coming from a part of the world that had a very different reality than mine. We even had a different climate. He grew up in a place where in the summer it was 110 degrees and it was so hot that you could hardly go outside. And I was explaining to him minus 40. He didn't know what that was. Waist-high snow. And there was even a moment where, you know, it had started to snow a little bit in St. Louis, and he said, you know, in Texas what we'll do is we would take warm water and we would pour it on our windshield to melt off the frost. And I explained to him that where I come from, no one would ever take water and pour it on a windshield in winter. It's just not that kind of climate. But I say all that to say that we were completely different in so many ways, but we shared a love of Jesus. And we were like two peas in a pod. We were incredibly close, and we had this bond, and it was natural, and it didn't have to be forced. It was an outflowing of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that we had this shared vision and purpose and mission of wanting to impact people for the gospel. And today he's an evangelist traveling the world, and I get to see, and I'm just in awe of how God is using his life to this day. But the unity that comes from the Spirit is not something that we manufacture. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
There's this moment where Jesus is with his disciples, and people come to him and they say, Jesus, your mother and your brother, your family is here, so you should go see them. And this is how he replies. It's in Mark chapter 3, verse 33. He says, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking at those sitting in a circle around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. It's kind of crazy. Is that not radical? Jesus is completely redefining family and community. That it's not just biology any longer if it's centered on Jesus. That community can be everyone in Christ pursuing the will of God. Think about how radical it was. I mean, now it's common for us to say, my brother, my sister in Christ, but when Jesus said this, he was challenging every single cultural notion of what matters. He was saying that when you have a group of believers and they're centered on Jesus, they can become something more. They can become like a family. And so to this day, we look at the Christian community and we talk about the family of Christ, because there's something special when the Holy Spirit is working in our midst that allows us to be unified in a beautiful way.
So powerful. And it's why God's design is that the Holy Spirit comes and creates that unity that we cannot create, we can't manufacture on our own. The Apostle Paul consistently exhorts the growing church to understand that their identity is in Christ. To the Corinthians, he says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Amen. It's powerful. That kind of unity crosses barriers we don't want to cross on our own. It defies, as Kofi said, family, culture, and preference. And the unity it creates can't be explained naturally. It's only a work of the Spirit.
Amen.
And when that community is strained and tensions rise, as they often do, we are told that we're a body that can't be separated.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 12:21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In the body of Christ, you are not optional. You are necessary. Turn to the person beside you and say, you are necessary.
You are necessary.
Amen. Amen. You are necessary. I love that. We cannot see community as a preference, and we can't just opt in when it's convenient. In Christ as the body, we are a spirit-designed, interdependent community. We need one another. We need to lean
Amen.
On one another.
Amen.
And maybe as I say that, you feel the tension of trying to live that out on your own. We want to be an encouraging reminder to you today that it's the Spirit who forms that Christ-like character in us for community.
Yes.
If we can get out of our own way, it's something that the Holy Spirit desires to produce in us. And this scripture is one that we're going to say together this morning because it really showcases what that Holy Spirit desires to produce in us for community. And it's Galatians 5:22, 23. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy,
peace,
patience,
kindness,
goodness,
faithfulness,
gentleness,
and self-control. And we know these are not formed in isolation. I know that as a mom home with my three boys for the summer. They're not formed in isolation. They're formed singularly in relationships. It's produced over time in the tension that our flesh inevitably stirs up. And we can't produce fruit by our effort. It's produced by the Spirit in obedience. And this was the prayer of Jesus, that through new life in the Spirit, that we together collectively would be united. In John 17, 21, he says, "May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you sent me." And Jesus consistently does this in his own ministry, that he points others to the Father. He points others to knowing the Father and to developing that Christ-like character, so that as others come to know us, we would point them to Jesus. We would point them to a relationship with the Father. Our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, they don't just hear the gospel, they see it in how we love each other. Those who are hostile towards us aren't convinced by our arguments, but by our love. What we choose to do, say in a staff room conversation, how we show love to others that we see on a regular basis or just once in a while. Nothing we do in ourselves can accomplish this. Biblical community isn't built by compatibility, but by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
And today that main thread has really been that the Holy Spirit is what convicts, heals, empowers us to reach out and form connections, to not just exist in community, but to emerge as community builders, intent on modeling an open invitation. And the non-exclusivity that we saw Jesus offer in his own ministry and modeled for us. A belief that what lives in here and resides in here, that Holy Spirit truly lives.
Praise God.
And perhaps today you're sitting here and you've felt rejection from a community, or you've struggled with that feeling of being less than, not measuring up, not good enough, or not really accepted or a part of communities that you felt have revolved around you. Perhaps, like Zacchaeus, you felt sidelined by community. Church, we want to lean in here. May the God that we serve convict, help us to listen and love and lead with open arms. This church community is not an exclusive club. There's no cap on any life that isn't warranted the space to belong in God's kingdom. And you've made such a beautiful step to come into community with each of us today. Whether you're brand new and you're making your first steps into this community, or you're knee deep in traveling through those church doors, you matter and you belong.
Amen.
Community is often born in some of our quiet conversations of genuine curiosity. Sometimes it's born in, "Friend, I am so thankful for you." Sometimes it's just in celebrations of being in your presence, or standing in that lineup to pick up our kids and providing those affirmations of nods and smiles and asking about your week. It's also born in deeply rooted small groups where being vulnerable feels safe. And in my own life, God has shown me how generating community in moments of vulnerability is particularly powerful and something I absolutely need. I am terrified, as Kofi can attest, of thunderstorms. Truly terrified. I spent a summer teaching English abroad 1 year in a region where we dealt with ongoing powerful monsoon rains coupled with active terrorism in that region that included a bomb being set off a street away. And for me, that linked bombs and thunder together in a way that calls into play that immediate self-preservation instinct. Anytime I hear that boom of an approaching thunderstorm. So if you're in a thunderstorm, I'm not your person. The storm fear runs deep. But what I have discovered is that for many other people, storms don't have that terrifying effect. In fact, others can perceive the same storm very differently. So I've learned that I can handle it better when in those moments, I intentionally get around others in the height of the storm. In my fear and vulnerability, I can face the thunder better, leaning into and being strengthened by the peace and the calm that others have. But if I were to isolate during those moments, I would absolutely experience the storm differently. Because I would revert to seeing the storm through my previously lived experience. I really benefit from seeing the storm through different eyes. And for me, doing so, getting in community, is perspective shaping.
Amen.
Perhaps you are here today and you feel like you're in the midst of facing down a storm or a fear alone. Perhaps you felt that hiding that vulnerability would be easier than making it visible. But in doing so, the anxiety has continued to build, further propelling you into a season or cycle of constant worry, fear, and perhaps at times even shame. We want to encourage you today to take an intentional step out into community. Even if you're not ready to share those fears, putting yourself in a position where you can find community alongside you as you navigate challenges ahead can enable genuine freedom and a place to just set down that mental load in the midst of others. And this is the beauty of God's church. This is what the help of the Holy Spirit enables us to form. A community that feels like family.
Amen.
Upholding one another in the pursuit of becoming more like Jesus. Our prayer is that our community would be formed around that shared belief that God is working on shaping us to be more like Him through the power and transformational effect of His Holy Spirit.
I love what you said about thunderstorms and how being able to get around people who are not afraid of thunderstorms and being with them through a storm actually gives you strength. I think there's something there for all of us in terms of how we all need community. Early in the pandemic, I joined a life group here at Life Center. It was a men's group, and it was the pandemic, and so it was mostly online. It was mostly a virtual life group, but it was a really meaningful and important, almost like stabilizing piece in my life as the world was going crazy. And I think that there's something so important about that. And part of why it's challenging and part of why we need that is because of how polarizing our world is. All around us, it seems like there's an effort to try to isolate us, to make us feel alone. Loneliness is on the rise. Society works to keep us to ourselves. It even feels like, and I actually know that they designed the algorithms in a way to keep us in our own little echo chamber. They want us just absorbing the same thing and not seeing any of the world around us. And it's important for us as Christians to be careful to quiet some of those voices and lean into community so that we can have the Holy Spirit working on us and working through us in community and being shaped by the power and by the presence of Almighty God, where we can be ourselves in our vulnerabilities and allow God to work on us. So the invitation this week and through these few weeks on community is for us to take conscious, intentional steps towards deeper belonging. So for some, that's as simple as staying when it feels uncomfortable. Perhaps you're here and you've been thinking, maybe I should just walk away from community. Maybe I should try to do this alone. Can I speak to you and say that's not the way? The way is to lean in. And for some, it's maybe an invitation to reconciliation, where you've been in conflict or in tension with someone and God is speaking on your heart to say, you need to restore that part of the relationship where there's some hurt. But I think all of us have to think about what it is that God is calling us to. It could be opening up and sharing what's going on in your life with someone in community to say, hey, you're a Christian brother or sister. Here's where I'm struggling. Here's where I need you to come alongside me. God is calling us to be a church where our differences don't divide us, but that rather we're able to show through our unity the power of God, where we recognize that we as people need each other, where our love is not fragile, but it's resilient. And again, this kind of community can't be manufactured. It's formed by the Spirit. So as we close, there's a quote here that we want to read, and then I'll invite Doyen to come back up to close our service. It says, "You were created for community, to be formed through it, and by the Spirit invited to be a people who reveal Jesus to the world." God bless you.